WNF's third annual Peace Awards is Saturday, August 27th at the Strass Center in Tampa. This year, noted Freedom Writers author Ray Arsenault delivers the keynote address, and legendary musician Marty Balin performs. Tickets and information are at WMNF.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be marking the 8th anniversary of the show, almost to the day. Chiefly by speaking again this morning with a very special guest, Queen guitarist Brian May. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune, with new music, in fact, from the head and the heart. This is Cats and Dogs here on Talking Animals.
But I will sweep my garden underneath the cupboard. Lives a mouse, and he discovered there was nothing there, nothing there, to discover. Falling from the sky, there are raindrops in my eyes, and my thoughts are digging in the backyard. My roots have grown, but I don't know where they are. Don't know where they are. I don't know where they are. My roots have grown, but I don't know where they are. Cats and dogs and rooster calls, telephones and payphone stalls, they take away the lonely days for now. They take away the lonely days for now.
Cats and Dogs, Take Away the Lonely Days. Indeed. That was The Head and the Heart with Cats and Dogs, an animal tune of sorts, to ease us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Queen guitarist Brian May, perhaps one of our most popular, well-received guests ever. When he first joined us in the latter part of 2010, chiefly to discuss some of the efforts he and others had undertaken under the rubric Save Me, Brian's own multifaceted animal protection campaign in the UK, named after the Queen song. We'll get updated on those efforts, touch on some animal issues we didn't discuss last time, either that may be specific to the UK or that are also equally relevant in the U.S. And, of course, we'll talk music. All this and more when we speak with Brian May in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And, as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of The Chimps of Fauna Sanctuary, the exceptional book written by last week's guest, Andrew Westall. And we'll also speak with Ken Koenig of Dunedin Doggy Rescue, which is an organized event coming up this weekend called Run for Wyatt. Right now, though, it's time for animal news and announcements, to look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of forthcoming local events. So let's turn now to interesting and or notable developments in animal news. Let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Well, let's start first by, I don't want to get too nuts about this anniversary thing. For starters, 8 isn't exactly a big, significant round number. But I did launch Talking Animals on June 13th, 2003, 8 years ago, almost to the day. KUCI in Irvine in Southern California. And I'll always be grateful for the folks at the station for allowing me to get the show started there and refine it. And I'm grateful to the folks here at WMNF where the show landed in 2005. Also great for the people who more than 9 years ago heard my kind of initial concept for talking animals after I'd spent some time formulating it. A lot of time researching the other animal or pet radio shows out there. Thinking of four people in particular who I sheepishly shared the first version of Talking Animals format with, who were and remain extremely supportive. My wife Colleen, my mother-in-law Liz, my friend Steven, and my friend John. John went on to design the Talking Animals logo, create the Talking Animals website. Until a few months ago, he also maintained it. He created the first Talking Animals poster and t-shirt. He's a pivotal figure in the Talking Animals world. He's also engaged in a tough battle with cancer, so I'd like to dedicate today's anniversary show to my friend John Taylor. Now, let's get right from there into far more crass or, you know, sort of fundamental mercenary matters. Governor Rick Scott, as you probably have heard here and read elsewhere, has vetoed the legislature's budget cutting all funding for public broadcasting in Florida, including WNF. So WNF will lose $62,000 in our fiscal year that starts October 1st. That represents a pretty significant hit for WNF, and it's possible the station will have to cut some services or programming that we currently provide. So on a very related note, WNF Summer Fun Drive is scheduled to start July 12th, and the Talking Animals Fun Drive show will take place Wednesday, July 13th at 11 a.m., 4 weeks from today. So in the wake of Governor Scott's budget slashing, in particular, very important that we're extremely successful with this fun drive, and we hope for the Talking Animals Fun Drive show particularly. So be helpful, tremendously helpful. If you could consider supporting us now, give us a sort of a head start. Go by putting something in our tip jar. You can just go to WMNF.org, find the schedule, find Talking Animals, of course, Wednesdays, 11 a.m., and click on that, and I'll take you to the Talking Animals page, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a tip jar. And if you just click on that and put a few bucks in, if you could spare 50 or 100 or more, that would be great. And otherwise, if you'd like to email me for other ways you can pledge your support before the Fun Drive show gets underway July 13th, that would be a huge, huge help. Just email Duncan at WMNF.org. And as always, we'll have cool, exclusive thank you gifts, including a week's stay at a Hawaiian condo in the Poipu Beach area, island of Kauai, or a special Mexican whale-watching trip courtesy of the Baja Expeditions to hang with the so-called friendly whales in Baja, California. And, of course, we'll have thank you gifts to suit all levels of donations, including the CD recorded at the second Talking Animals Festival in April. 13 bands performing animal songs, including Maga Dog, Sons of Hippies, Pete Gallagher, The Dirty Dragon Spoons Reviews, and Damon Fowler, whose contribution we'll hear to close out today's show. So, again, please email me today at duncan@wmnf.org for ways you can help support Talking Animals and WMNF. Thanks. And turning more to an actual news item, animal rights activists picketed the San Diego County Fair in Del Mar earlier this week because a Riverside County company is offering elephant rides inside the Del Mar event. PETA, Animal Defenders International, and others are protesting the company Have Trunk Will Travel, HTWT, over its treatment of their animals. The activists recently released a video that purports to show beatings, elephants being hooked with bull hooks, etc., electric shocks even being administered. And that's tied to one of the Have Trunk Will Travel's elephants being at the center of the recent film Water for Elephants. So the seems to be some debate there about how much the tapes were edited, but you know, even if they were, some pretty damning stuff there for those folks. So let's see, coming up locally this coming Saturday, there's two sort of overlapping even events in the in the pit bull world. There's the Mid-Florida American Pit Bull Terrier Association gathering getting underway this Saturday, June 18th at 10 a.m. at Harney Park, the bypass canal for the Mid-Florida American Pit Bull Terrier Association. And there's all kinds of stuff going on there. And you can find out more by emailing midfloridapitbulls@tampabay.rr.com. And that rolls into something we have mentioned a few other times in recent days. The event kind of just adjacent, really, going on also Saturday. It gets underway at 2 o'clock at Mike's Smokehouse Barbecue and Grill, sort of a fundraiser for with proceeds to benefit Pitbull Happenings, Pibbles to the Rescue, and Busters and Foster's Haven. So be music and eats and fun and games and two cool stuff for two-legged types, four-legged types, and more. So I think that's all we're going to have time for at the moment. It's probably time to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Bill Burr with a piece we're calling Pitbull on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
So I got a dog recently. That's a big thing in my life. I went down to the pound, and I got a free dog. That's how I say it. I don't say I rescued a dog. All right, it's obnoxious, and it's not true. Sick of people doing that. She's a rescue. Yeah, I rescued her. Really? Did you pull her out of a burning building? Did you jump in a river with your wingtips still on, with no concern for your own safety? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog? Stop acting like you had to take out a couple of guards, crawling on your elbows, using hand signals. Dude, you ever go down to the pound? They're just giving the dogs away. They don't even do a background check. They're just like, you want a man? Get out of here. Who's next? So, my girlfriend actually, to be honest with you, got the dog while I was traveling. I was in a different state. My girlfriend got us a dog, right? Classic female move, you know? That's just a 10 to 15 year commitment. Why would you include me in that decision? So, we're Skyping. I go, well, let me see the dog. I thought she got some little cute little chihuahua or something. She pans around, and I'm looking at, like this hellhound. Yeah, I'm, like, freaking out. Like, is that a pit bull? Please tell me you didn't get a pit bull. She's like, it's not a pit bull. It's a, they said it was a mix. Mixed with what? Another pit bull? Look at that thing. That was brutal. Should have seen. It looked like I've been doing pull-ups its entire life. Front paws were still taped up, and shadow boxing. Teardrop tattoo. It's a pit bull. But here's the funny thing. I fell in love with the dog. I know a lot of people don't like pit bulls because they ate a couple of guys. I get it. It's been some issues. But you owe it to yourself at some point in your life to walk down the street with a pit bull. I'm telling you, people just get out of the way. It's awesome. 3-4 blocks away, they see me coming, they just start crossing the street. I love it. My whole life, I've looked like Ron Howard. Okay? I've been mugged repeatedly. But the second they see that four-legged P90X body coming down the street, oh, yeah. It's the greatest dog you could ever have. Having a pit bull, it's like having a gun you can pet. It's tremendous. I'm out of time. You guys are a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
That was Bill Burr with a piece we're calling Pitbull, taken from a recent Letterman appearance on Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals, our website. This is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Brian, Queen Guitarist Brian May, who I don't think really needs much introduction beyond that, apart from reiterating what I mentioned earlier, that Brian's own multifaceted animal protection campaign in the UK, named after the Queen's song, Save Me. And pretty sure he's the only rock star we've had on the show who also holds a PhD in astrophysics. So, with a reminder, we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Brian May back to Talking Animals.
Hello, Duncan.
How's it sounding now to you, Brian?
It sounds great, except I can hear myself really loud about a second later.
Ah,
but we can manage. It'll be okay.
All right. Well, if it starts to get too much, we'll just take a little break and we'll try a different way of phoning, or you phoning me. But anyways, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm thrilled you've returned. It makes our 8th anniversary today truly special. But I should quickly point out that Queen is celebrating a far more momentous anniversary at the moment, 40, right?
It's 40, God. I'm just about getting used to it. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it must seem hard to reconcile with how did we get to 40 already? And you know, there's a number of kind of interesting things happening in the Queen camp and in the Brian May camp, including playing on the new Lady Gaga record, much of which I expect we'll come back to in a few minutes. But, of course, mainly we're here, at least initially, to talk animals. So
absolutely.
I thought it might be illuminating to kind of frame the conversation looking at issues and campaigns that are both specific to the UK on the one hand, and also examine some of those that that have more universal resonance, or at least are relevant in both the UK and the US. So one of those that's highly UK specific is this proposed badger call, enormously controversial issue we did discuss last time. Maybe for those who didn't hear that conversation, maybe you could sort of just outline, you know, what's the idea, what's being proposed, the chief arguments in both camps. And I know there's been a new development just earlier this week.
Yeah, it's a complex issue, really. But unfortunately, a lot of rubbish gets talked about it, and a lot of people pretend they understand science and actually don't. The contention is that badgers are to blame for the fact that bovine TB is kind of out of control among cattle in the UK. Now, this has been the case for many, many years now, and the badgers have been kind of branded as the bad guys. And the theory of these people is that the badgers are a kind of pool for the bacteria which caused this disease. And the farmer's argument is that, you know, you can't eliminate it in cows if you're allowing it to be in the wildlife around them, which can reinfect them.
Sure.
Sadly, it's a very flawed argument, because all the science that has been done and the proper scientific research that has been done indicates that killing our badger population will make absolutely no impression on the disease. And the only thing that will actually eradicate or control bovine TB is better control of testing and the movement of cattle. But this kind of myth exists, and there's a big kind of political movement to kind of show that they're doing something.
Yeah.
And the way they show they're doing something is by going out and killing our badgers, which at the moment are a protected species, quite rightly. So you've got to stop me if I talk too much, okay?
Not at all. I think I hear some talking animals in the background, perhaps. But
yeah, I'm out in wildlife country. I'm in Richmond Park with my family, because it's my son's birthday today, and we're surrounded by beautiful deer, which have been here for centuries, actually. Very nice population of deer, so it's great for kids, and it's great for us just to be out here in the open air. It's not particularly sunny, but it's pleasant.
Well, that's great, and again, thank you all the more for making the time to speak with us in the midst of the birthday celebrations. So,
it's a pleasure, Duncan.
So, you know, it seemed like, I mean, this just seems so highly charged. I mean, it just seems like there's intense emotions swirling every which way around this. I mean, one thing that certainly happened since we last spoke about it is there was this kind of a controversy that, I guess it was sort of a time elapsed, but it only emerged last month, where this Adam Henson, a BBC anchorman, I guess, turned out he had received death threats after delivering a report about, now, what did you make of that?
You're well up with your news, Duncan, yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, but it just seems like, I mean, what did you make of that? Did you feel there were elements of his reports? Because usually the BBC stuff is pretty objective and down the line, so I can't imagine that he, had said something that would be that inflammatory to elicit that kind of response. I mean, not that anything should ever elicit that kind of response, but.
Yeah, my first, you know, there's enough. Again, this is a complex thing. My first reaction was to distance myself as a campaigner for animal welfare from any kind of threat to humans, because it's a no-brainer. Of course, why would you be kind to animals and you wouldn't be kind to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was my first reaction. And then a number of people have started saying, well, if your kids were threatened by supposed animal rights people, what would you do? You would go to the police, right? But the police know nothing about it. So these people, I mean, not myself, but plenty of people saying, well, is this true? Or is this the kind of spin that's been put on to try to denigrate those who fight for the rights of animals? Because it's all too easy to do, isn't it? You can brand people who care about animals as extremists.
Sure.
And then you've scored a great goal.
Right.
For those who want to continue abusing animals.
Yeah. You're just...
So, you know, it's very hard for me to say. I don't know what my own, you know, I can't say either way, you know, what the truth of the matter is. But what is certain is that this, you know, this news story has been used incessantly by people who want to try and score a goal for the people who want to continue abusing animals.
Hmm. And what does it matter? I just happened to, as I was looking around and sort of preparing to speak to you today, I just happened to also stumble across the fact that, you know, apart from his duties with the BBC, Henson is also a farmer himself with, it sounds like, quite a large parcel of land. I mean, is that?
Yeah, so you have an agenda there.
Yeah.
It's a difficult area for me to comment on. All I can
say
is that everybody that I deal with who is concerned with the welfare of animals doesn't have a shred of violence in their body. That's why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, I feel it's been very abused, whether or not the story is true.
Okay.
I mean, I've had threats of various kinds. They're usually kind of veiled. But you know, certainly the other side are violent by nature. A lot of the fox hunters are very violent. You can see by the videos on YouTube what they're like. So they get very threatening, but that's grist for the mill. In fact, a 75-year-old pensioner was attacked by some fox hunters, and they were convicted recently in the courts, and yet you don't see that all over the news.
Mm.
So there's a bit of bias going on,
you
can understand.
For sure. But didn't also, just this week, wasn't there news kind of that the Badger Coal would be delayed until at least 2012?
Well, yes, they keep making these noises, and they're saying, well, we're delaying because... What they're saying is we're delaying because we're checking our legal position. They're not delaying because they doubt the science,
well,
the veracity of the science, which is a bit of a sad comment because their science is sadly lacking. In fact, it's been called by the Badger Trust a travesty. There is no science behind the Badger Coal. It's just... What would happen if we did this?
Right.
There is no scientific evidence whatsoever.
Well, you know,
and that's going to solve the BBTV.
And I remember we spoke at some length about that last time because it just seemed like they were ignoring the science. But one thing I found interesting when this announcement from I guess it was Farm Minister Jim Pace, I think it was, but as part of his statement on the delay, he said somewhere in there, I believe, something like, we have to accept that the science is disputed. Which is exactly what you explained here. Your position all along is that the science didn't hold up for the Badger Coal. So I don't know if...
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the hard facts are that there was a 10-year study. 11,000 badgers were killed. And the results of this piece of scientific research were very, very clear by the people who did the research. They said culling of badgers cannot meaningfully contribute to the control of bovine TB in cattle in the UK. So it's an open and shut case, really. But you have people saying, well, you know, maybe if we did this and we did this, but that's not science.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of clinging to an idea which is sadly misguided and incredibly immoral, in my view. In my view, if your farming is messing up the wildlife, which was there before humans were there, then you have to look seriously at the farming.
Yeah, well, I guess that's part of the, where the camps are really divided is like who's kind of causing the problem for the other factions. So let me let folks know, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with the Queen guitarist Brian May. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing DJ at WMNF.org. Another thing that I thought notable, and this is one that kind of maybe does have a direct parallel with over here, is this thing, the government's kind of sort of low-key or low-profile, at least, efforts to toss out laws that have been in place to protect the environment by labeling them red tape?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about this and of course, its implications.
Yeah, you know, and I'm kind of, if it wasn't so serious, you would laugh, really. But this government came into power with this rather kind of childish cry that there is too much red tape, there are too many laws, let's get rid of laws, which is kind of on a very naive level, kind of appealing to people who don't like red tape and stuff. So to try and sort of justify this approach now that they're in power, and also very conveniently to get around some laws which they don't like, specifically fox hunting and a lot of laws which try to protect animals against such things, they can now class as red tape and say, let's get rid of all these laws and we don't need to put it through Parliament. We can just label all these laws as unnecessary and get rid of them at a stroke. And it was all done rather quietly. They put up a website, but it wasn't very clear to anyone what was going on until, of course, people like us started making a fuss.
Yeah.
Because we realize that all the laws which are scant to protect our wild animals were about to be demolished.
Sure, sure. Well, and you know, in an area that seemed at least roughly parallel, last Wednesday, in fact, former Secretary of the Interior Bruce Babbitt, who was, under Clinton, delivered this speech at the National Press Club, just scorching. In its assessment of the Congress for what he called its assault on our environment, and the next breath he said, Congress led by the House of Representatives has declared war on our land, water, and natural resources. And that was just in the opening, like, two or three lines of his speech, and I went on quite a bit from there.
A very parallel thing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really...
It seems to be a disease abroad at the moment to kind of relegate animals to being objects, and it to me, it's a terrible sickness, which will have a terrible effect on mankind, and already is threatening the planet.
Sure. Sure. Well, there's some folks, of course, already eager to speak with you. Let's put at least one call on the air. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Brian May.
Hi, my name is Monica. I'm calling from Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Brian, I really look up to you, and your passion and your care for animals is one of the reasons I looked up to you so much. I wondered if anyone in particular inspired you.
I'm sorry, I think that with the delay, I'm sorry, I think the last part of your question.
I missed that last piece of what you said, I'm so sorry.
Could you repeat the,
Is there anybody in particular that's inspired you in your care for animals and your fight for animal rights?
There are many people. One in particular I would mention, Virginia McKenna, who founded Born Free. And it's her 80th birthday this coming Friday, a couple of days away. So I will be going to celebrate her birthday. But she has spent a huge proportion of her life really throwing out her whole success as an actress and becoming a campaigner for animal rights. She's been rescuing animals in Africa and India. And I've been very honored to team up with her on the issues of wild animals in Britain.
That's really cool. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
So Brian, another sort of animal issue that does seem kind of parallel or important both in England and here is the effort by one means or another to kind of curtail, if not halt, circuses that use animals. And seemed like the way it was approached recently there, it was designed as a ban on lions, tigers, other wild animals from performing in circuses. And then, as I understand it, the ban was sort of poised to go through. And then the good folks at 10 Downing Street, I guess, blocked the ban in favor of so-called self-regulation?
This is what I hear, yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have a government who are very much supported by those interests who are in conflict with the welfare of animals. I hope that's not putting it too strongly. But we're in a very sad place at the moment as regard animals. We have a minister for hunting, and we don't have a minister for wildlife. Mm. The only thing we have is DEFRA, which really represents the farmers in the countryside. So it's a very one-sided battle, which we're trying to fight at the moment to have some decency for animals.
Yeah, it just sounds like, sort of everywhere someone turns to try to make things better, they're being undermined. And again, this thing, from what I gather, what did look like it was actually, very close to being pushed through. And then,
yes, even DEFRA were recommending it, and then it stalled. And what I hear is that the order came directly from 10 Downing Street.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, wow. And, of course, here we try various things, regional bans on performing animals, other approaches. Just last week, in fact, this county near Atlanta, Fulton County, enacted a ban on using bull hooks. So, of course, at least in that small area, that keeps people from, ringlings and others that use those from coming through that area. I mean, it's limited, but, I mean, those things all represent progress in this regard, I think.
We're fighting in Scotland at the moment to try and get the use of snares banned. You know, snaring is a hideous practice which just randomly catches all animals, and they die a slow and painful death. You're talking about foxes and badgers, but also domestic cats and dogs, all kinds of animals, And you would think it was a no-brainer to get rid of such a barbaric practice, but it's supported by vested interests, in this case, the shooting industry. I mean, they breed these birds for people to come and shoot at, and they don't want them to be eaten by wild animals because there won't be anything around for them to kill.
Mm.
And this is a huge amount of money that's involved. This is a huge industry of Scotland, attracting tourists to come in and kill animals. So you're fighting something very, very big, and it's very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with the Queen guitarist Brian May about an array of animal issues in the UK and here. If you have a question or comment for Brian, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So in light of sort of what you've kind of outlined here just today in our chat, I mean, with Save Me or just generally, I mean, do you feel like you have to sort of go back and recalibrate strategy? Do you feel like, oh my god, we're hitting walls every which way and get discouraged? Or does that mostly in fact the opposite, just where you sort of redouble your efforts and say, all right, this is going to take a more concerted effort or a more strategic effort to push through some of these things?
Yeah, I think all of the above. There are moments when you get very discouraged, for sure, and you win some battles and you lose a lot of them, but yes, you get up.
Okay. Unfortunately, it looks like we just lost Brian for a sec, so we will try to get him back, and hopefully we'll have him back shortly. This is Talking Animals on WNF. Okay, Brian is back with us. I mean, we're just struggling a little bit with a mobile out on a birthday celebration at Richmond Park, but here he is back again. So thanks for hanging in with us, Brian. So
you're welcome. I think we lost each other at the point where I was saying, yes, you get knocked down, but then yes, you get up and you fight again. You fight another day. You do not give up, and that's what we're all like, I think, who care about the way we treat animals.
And one thing, I guess, that may or may not have changed since we last spoke, I mean, is Save Me, like, it seems like it's more of a campaign than an organization, but is there actual kind of infrastructure and people that are working on specific things kind of under your guidance, or how does that work from campaign to campaign or effort to effort?
It's a very small campaign. It's basically me and my PA and a couple of people who I work with in direct animal rescue. You know, we have the Harper Estuary Wildlife Rescue very close to us where I live. So It's a handful of us. You know, it's a very small organization, but we have very good contacts with a lot of other organizations with similar views. And some of what I've been doing I regard as coordination, and some of it has been trying to make a noise, really, trying to use the fact that I'm a well-known figure to make people think, to make people realize what's going on in the lorries that pass their door, or in the little patches of countryside which are fenced off and they can't see.
Sure. Well, and that seems to I think work very, very well. I mean, it is, I think we touched on this briefly before, but I know that kind of could cut both ways, but because you are a very high profile figure taking some of these stands amongst these, you know, often very controversial issues. I mean, yeah. You just do kind of a basic search for you and some crazy blogs and websites turn up, mm-hmm. right? That are obviously just, like you mentioned earlier, just designed to, you know, sort of dismiss, you know, your position by, I mean, some of the things, there's one in particular, yeah. I wish I could think of the name of it, but it almost sounded like something out of a supermarket tabloid, like, you know, you had used, brainwashing on one or more members of Queen to do this and that's all these just nutty things, but I just thought, well, this is so desperate to sort of marginalize your efforts.
Anyway. There's a determined effort. That's what happens when you stick your head up, I think. People make a determined effort to discredit you and make you look foolish and ignorant and God knows what else. It's just, you have to be very sort of grown up about it and accept what is out there. There are also a lot of people who are incredibly supportive.
Sure.
And very grateful for.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think we inch our way forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, when you did decide to stick your head up, you probably anticipated, maybe not to the full extent, you know, that there would be some people, you know, taking pot shots because they didn't want to, you know, hear what you had to say. And again.
I didn't realize quite how threatening some of the stuff I would stir up would be. It's not a pleasant way. It's not a good, not a comfortable way to live, knowing that you're stirring up this kind of hatred because you're trying to protect animals.
But I mean, again, I, to me, this is an ongoing thing of being a guy who, you know, isn't just, you know, a longtime rock star, et cetera, but a guy with a PhD in astrophysics. So again, cannot be dismissed the way you might dismiss any number of other people who just decided to speak out on an issue and say, well, you know, so what? Mm. They can't say so what. You know, so makes it.
Well, they can try.
Yeah, no, and they have obviously. So, we're just in the last couple of minutes here, Brian, and so I think be remiss if I didn't ask at least a couple of music things, including you know, I know you've been touring sort of behind this with doing these shows with Carrie Ellis behind her album Anthems, which you produce, and that looks like from what I gather, kind of a fun mix of those shows of her songs and Queen songs and. I guess the bulk of those shows.
It's an exploration. Yeah, I've been very proud of it, actually. I think we've discovered a new area, a kind of synthesis of orchestra and rock and some elements from musical theater and some elements of hard rock. And I just love working with great people. I've been out with a great band, and she's a great singer. So we've had a fabulous time.
Yeah. Sure. And also sort of just based on her name, there's obviously a connection between Lady Gaga and Queen. How did it come down that you played On You and I a track on her latest album?
It was Mutt Lange, who I've known not incredibly well, but I've known him for years, and he just called me up and said, "Do you fancy playing on this track for Lady Gaga?" And I said, "Send me, and I'll tell you whether I can do it." And I heard the track, and I loved it. I thought it was a really great song. Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, it has to be done tomorrow." And I basically cleared my diary for that day and ran in and did it.
Wow.
That's really the extent of it. I got all fired up and put a lot of passion into it. There's a little bit of chagrin on my part because what I sent to Mutt is very much not what you hear. Mutt did a whole job on it, cutting it down and making it a lot smoother than it was, because it was kind of wild, and that's what I wanted to do with Lady Gaga. I wanted to be a foil for her, like I'd been a foil for Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really turn out that way. He kind of made it all fit rather, I would say, rather kind of more tamely than I had wished.
Okay.
But, you know, Mutt does his thing, and I'm sure it's a hit, and you've got to have respect for that.
Sure.
I haven't heard a word from the lady herself. I'm hoping that I meet her one day, but I haven't.
Wow.
Had a whisper.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, again, given, you know, if she calls herself Lady Gaga, I mean, you'd think if she had somebody from Queen play on the new album, you'd think there'd be at least a quick email or text or something. But
maybe got lost in the post. I'm watching my inbox.
Okay, well, all right. I'm sure one of these days. But, Brian, I know there's other cool things. This Queen documentary that I guess is slated to air on A&E later this month, June 27th, and, you know, some other things in the offing, some sort of collaboration afoot with Tangerine Dream, just all kinds of wonderful things. So,
yes, I'm a busy boy.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so, again, people can find out. There's just a great, rich, varied website, brianmay.com. And, again, for the animal campaign, it's save-me.org.uk. So, again, thank you so much for making the time to join us again today, mid-birthday party, even more so. So thanks for your time, and that's really appreciated. And best of luck, and we'll check in with you down the road.
It's a pleasure, Duncan. Thank you for what you do, and thank you to all the folks out there who are listening to you, who are trying to change the world as we are. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Take care now.
Cheers, Duncan. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of Andrew Westall's book, The Chimps of Fauna Sanctuary, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. In a moment, we'll speak with Ken Koenig of Dunedin Doggy Rescue. Right now, though, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Listen to my bluebird laugh. She can't tell you why. Deep within her heart, you see, she knows all I cry. Just lying. Yeah. There she sits aloft at birds. Strangest color blue, lying is forgotten now. Thinks only of you.
Okay, well, let's first. There's every line is lit. Of course, we play this part. Well, let's just take the first order they came in. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Yes, that would be Bluebird, Buffalo Springfield.
Absolutely. Played that partly as a nod to them performing this last weekend at Bonnaroo and just being back together playing some shows. So what is your first name, sir?
This is Bob.
Bob, okay. Bob, you are correct, and we'll put you on hold for another moment or two, get your information, and get you a copy of Andrew Westall's book, The Chimps of Fauna Sanctuary. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we also have on the line now, as promised, Ken Koenig from Dunedin Doggy Rescue.
Hello, Duncan.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals. How are you?
Real good. Got a big event coming up this weekend.
Cool. Well, let's get to that in a sec. But first, maybe just give us a little overview on Dunedin Doggy Rescue. When was it founded, for starters? And we'll get a few other details and then get into the event.
Yeah, we started about 2006, so almost 5 years old. We've adopted out about 250 dogs. We get them mostly from kill shelters in rural areas in North Florida. We bring them here, we get them vetted, trained, fix them up, and then we adopt them out to the local community.
So it sounds like there's a pretty specific mission then, I mean, compared to maybe some rescues. It sounds like you're...
Yeah, we decided to make this a real local event. The thing that is always a challenge for rescues is coming up with fosters and volunteers. So we made our rescue a co-op, meaning that when you adopt a dog from us, the price is based on how much time you have to help the rescue. So you can get a dog as cheap as $50 if you have time to help the rescue do fostering, volunteering, spreadsheets, any sort of tests.
I see. So you can kind of work down your your fee, as it were.
Exactly.
Cool, cool, cool. And what other ways beside that, and would you say that the Dunedin Doggy Rescue might differ from other rescues that folks might be aware of?
Well, we do a lot of events. We're almost doing 2 and 3 events a weekend, and we have a lot of support from the local community, the restaurant and bar business. So we have a lot of people that like to get out with their dogs, and so these dogs are specifically brought out to events to show that they can be out in public, and this is, you can bring your best friend out with you to restaurants.
Cool. Well, let's get into maybe one or more of those, especially some of the ongoing ones in a sec. But let's, since ostensibly at least, one of our reasons for talking today is to discuss the Run for Wyatt. Maybe you could tell us what that is and give us some of the key details.
Yeah, this Saturday we're doing, as you said, a Run for Wyatt. We're calling him the Three-Legged Wonder. It's a dog we had adopted out about 6 months ago. We knew he was an escape artist. The adoptive mom did everything she could to keep him in, but he got out one day and got hit by a car. So he had to have his leg amputated. She didn't want to resign herself that this was going to happen, so she had a couple of consults, and by the time she got finished, he had to have his leg amputated. So she's got a good amount of surgical bills built up, and she's a school teacher, so we wanted to help her. So the event is this Saturday at 4:30 at Got Wines in Dunedin. That's at 520 Douglas Avenue. And we're doing 3 legs. 1 leg is you just walk with your dog for a half a mile. And leg 2 is you run or jog with your dog for a half a mile. And leg 3 is runners doing a 3-miler.
Wow.
And a different component to make this fun, since we're calling this a fun run, is that there are beer challenges along the way. So you stop at different establishments and have a 10-ounce beer.
Wow. Well, that certainly makes things a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. And then when we get done, we have a post-race party, food provided by Pinehurst Pub and Flanagan's, and then we have beer from Dunedin Brewery, Alexander Keith, Victory, and it's a kind of kill the keg. The cost for entry is $20. That includes all your beer and food. And we'll also have adoptables there. And as always, we need fosters. So if you're looking to help out, our fostering is as short as 3 days, as long as 2 weeks. And we have about 15 dogs in the rescue.
And this might be a good time as any to say, first of all, the website is DunedinDogs.com. But more specifically, if someone did feel like they wanted to find out more about fostering, for example, is there an email or some other phone number, or did they just go to the website and kind of take it from there?
Yeah, on the website, we got a tab that says how you can help. So you go to there, and it says whether you want to foster or you want to volunteer or you want to donate, those kind of items.
Sure.
We always need volunteers. In fact, for this Saturday race, we need people to help volunteer, do registration and runner guiding and items like that.
Sure, sure, sure. And then, you know, some of the ongoing events that Dunedin Doggy Rescue does includes Suds on Sunday. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a small dog wash thing that we had done about 3 years ago. We were washing about 15 dogs at Dunedin Brewery in a little ditch, and it's now grown to this giant about 150 to 200 dogs washed. We do this every first Sunday of the month. Dog washing is anywhere from $7 to $13. We have groomers and vet techs on site to do ear cleanings and nail trims. You get a free beer with every dog wash, and we have a live band, and we have a bunch of vendors. So it's kind of like a festival atmosphere, and that runs from 12 o'clock to 4:30. And like I said, the first Sunday of every month at Dunedin Brewery. That's also on Douglas Avenue.
And I like the fact that so far, at least the two main events you've described, there seems to be a running theme of beer.
Yeah, and if you look if you internet search on Google, you'll see Dunedin and beer and dogs have a big tie in that.
Sure, they're all interconnected. Any other forthcoming events that we should know about? Obviously, our immediate focus is the Run for Wyatt, but anything else that we should kind of mark our calendars for coming up?
This Friday we'll be down at Third Friday in Safety Harbor. It's a street fest, and it has numerous rescues that go there, and we'll have a bunch of adoptables there, and that starts at 5:30. And then the day before Suds on Sunday, on July 2nd, Dunedin's having a festival called the Dunedin Orange Festival. And we have a dog parade in that, so I invite all your listeners to come down, bring your dogs, walk in the parade, and hang out at a what was a first year festival last year that turned out really well.
Great. Wow. Well, this sounds like a lot of action, a lot of things to do and to get involved with and to help out with. And again, it's DunedinDogs.com for ways you could find out info, support their efforts, become a volunteer, etc. So, well, this sounds really, really cool, Ken. Thanks. Thanks for making the time to join us today, and we'll hope that the Run for Wyatt is a huge success amongst your other upcoming events, and thanks for all the great work you're doing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Duncan, for supporting the rescue world.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, man. Thank you. Okay, so I think we are going to maybe we'll hear another a little bonus animal song right now on Talking Animals. This is the White Stripes doing their version of an animal song, Talking Animals. Stripes with Little Bird. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll be back next Wednesday, June 22nd, when our guest will be Dr. Dave Akalsa, a holistic veterinarian based in Clearwater. That's next Wednesday, June 22nd, on Talking Animals at 11 a.m. right here on WMNF. I hope you'll join me then. Also, if you visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives, podcasts of past Talking Animals shows and more. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page or Twitter feed and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals Outreach Consultant is Livia McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music, airing next from noon to 3. Scott's also one of the key organizers of our special Juneteenth celebration this Sunday, June 19th, which also happens to be Father's Day, of course. Be sure to tune in WMNF or WMNF.org all day long. Scott will no doubt provide more details on his show. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This one, a selection from the Talking Animals Festival CD, which features at least one animal song from each of the 13 bands. Was it 12? I don't know. It was a lot of bands who perform animal songs at the festival in April. We'll be offering that as a thank you gift on our Fun Drive show July 13th. But if you want to be sure to get one, call us now with a pledge of $50 at 813-239-9663, and we'll get you one of those hot items ahead of time. And right now, this is Damon Fowler with his fab solo acoustic rendition of Roadrunner, taking us right up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great show right here on WMNF Tampa. Take it away, Damon.
Here's a song Bo Diddley did. Starts off like this. Beep, beep.
I'm a roadrunner, baby. Can't keep up with me. I'm a roadrunner, baby. You can't keep up with me. Well, you've got the green light, baby. Why don't you wait and see? Move over, honey. Let me pass by. I said, move over, baby. Let me pass by. You got the green light, baby. Don't even ask me why. 'Cause I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, darling, and you can't keep up with me. Let's have another road, baby. Cape all the time. Let's have another road, baby. Keep it on the line. You're gonna get the green light and keep it on the time. Yeah. Well, I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, darling. I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, baby. I'm a roadrunner, darling, and you can't keep up with me.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Consumer prices are